Father, we do thank you and we praise you for, Lord, the message that we can proclaim in this season, the message that we can embrace, and the message that changes our lives, Lord, if we'll believe it. It's your holy word, and it's a message of salvation. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of new life. It's a message of freedom and deliverance. And we thank you for that today, Father. I thank you for every heart being open to your word right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit enabling me to speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I want to talk just for a few minutes. I won't keep you a long time. But just for a few minutes, what did Jesus come to do? What did he really come to do? We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate that Jesus came into this earth. But let's look at what the Bible says he actually really came to do. Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Praise God. So the first question that gets answered in this, as we look at this passage right here, the first question that gets answered is this: who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus that we celebrate? Who is he? Well, he is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus is not an ordinary man. His coming was not ordinary. Jesus is God. God manifested in the flesh. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. Notice this now, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. God manifested in the flesh. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, and the Word, this Word that is God, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God walking on the earth in flesh. Hallelujah. So God became a man in a supernatural way. And so this is the second question that gets answered. How did God, how could that happen? How could God become a man? How could God be made man? It happened in a supernatural way. Jesus was born of a virgin. Some people have said, well, the virgin birth, you know, that's not important whether that happened that way or whether it didn't happen that way. It is essential. The virgin birth is essential. Because if the virgin birth didn't happen, then Jesus is just an ordinary man. The virgin birth was essential because that sin nature that came into Adam and Eve when they sinned and was passed down to all humanity, all human race and every generation, that sin nature was transferred by natural means, by natural birth. But Jesus, because he was born a supernatural way, was not stained with that sin nature. Hallelujah. Amen. He was born of a virgin. His birth was supernatural. Verse 18, it says that Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, when the angel appeared to Joseph and told him, go ahead with your plan here. Go ahead and be married to her. Take to her your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It was supernatural. Praise God. So now, This passage also tells us what Jesus came to do. And of course, in talking about him being God, in verse 23, let's catch that first. It says, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Praise God. But let's look at what he came to do. In verse 21, it tells us what Jesus came to do. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Someone once wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Aren't you glad that He did? I know we're getting into, it's already started, even though the presidential election won't be until almost, 11 months from now almost, 10 and a half months from now. But they're already having debates and the candidates are already trying to position themselves. And I'm interested in it. But as I survey the field of all the candidates that are going to be running for president and our current president that'll be running for re-election, I don't see any Savior qualities in any of them. Do you? No, God sent us a Savior. Now, again, we need leaders and we need good leaders and godly leaders. I'm not minimizing that. But no man can be our Savior. No man is qualified to save us, but only this man, Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I love what the Gospel of Luke, the truth that we get from and the revelation we get out of the Gospel of Luke concerning the birth of Jesus and concerning the significance of his birth and what his birth really meant. And it was prophesied, if you look with me in verse 67 of chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, it was prophesied by Zacharias. And you know, Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his birth was miraculous. It was not supernatural in the same way that Jesus' birth was, because he was born by natural means, but it was miraculous in the fact that Zacharias and Elizabeth were both very old. And they were unable to have any children. They'd been childless their entire marriage. And now they were well up in years. And Zacharias was of the priesthood, and he was serving in the temple. And an angel appeared to him and said, Zacharias, you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a child. And he's going to be a special child. He's going to be a forerunner. He's going to be one who prepares the way for the Messiah, to get the people ready to receive the Messiah. I have special plans for your son. And Zacharias said, I can't believe it. You know what? I'm old. Elizabeth is old. This is unbelievable. And so Zacharias had to be shut up so his unbelief wouldn't be transported through his mouth and mess up the plan of God. So the angel came to Zacharias and pressed his mute button. And so Zacharias was mute and unable to speak until, sure enough, Elizabeth became pregnant, and sure enough, she gave birth. And they were going to name him something else, and they asked Zacharias what to name him, and he said, his name is John, because that was the name that the angel said to give him. Amen. And so that was an act of where Zacharias now is believing. He believed that message from the angel, and so when that happened, the Bible says his tongue was loosed. And he was able to speak again. And boy, he started saying the right thing then. He was not only talking, he was talking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he began to prophesy. In verse 67, it says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. In verse 75, it says, verse 74, it says, to grant us He's prophesying now that what's going to happen with this Savior that's coming, this Messiah, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. He prophesied that this one that was coming, His Son would be a forerunner. His Son would prepare the way. John the Baptist would prepare the way. But then this one that was coming, He said that God has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of His servant David. And he said what He's going to do, He's going to grant that we would be delivered from the hand of our enemies and that we'd be able to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And that, in a nutshell, is what Jesus came to do. So I want us to look at these things here because He prophesies of what Jesus came to do. The first thing He said was being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Jesus came to deliver us from the hand of our enemy. Because you see, the whole world was in the grip of Satan. The whole world was under the power of Satan. Jesus came to deliver us from the hand of our enemies. Look with me at the book of Colossians, chapter... Well, where is it, Charlene? She'll put it up there. Chapter 1, okay, 1:13. Colossians 2 is really good, and Colossians 1 is as well. So we'll look at 1. Look at what it says here, Colossians 1:13, being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's talking about what God did for us in Jesus. He delivered us from the power of darkness. So all those who will receive this Savior, all those who will put their faith in this Messiah, in this Savior Jesus, are delivered from the power of darkness. Praise God. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come just to inspire us to sing some nice songs. Amen. Although there's some nice songs that have been written about His birth and that we sing at Christmas time, He came to deliver us, hallelujah, to deliver us from the power of darkness, to deliver us from the hand of our enemies. Glory to God. We are delivered from Satan's grip. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive Him into your heart, when you believe what He came to do, Satan's grip over your life is broken. Satan can no longer hold you in bondage. He can no longer hold you in bondage to sin and to destructive habits. That grip is broken. Praise God. He can no longer hold you in bondage to sickness and disease and poverty and lack. That grip is broken. Because that's what Jesus came to do, to deliver us from the hand of our enemy, to deliver us out of the power of darkness. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And then the next thing that Zacharias said in that inspired utterance, he says to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Notice it's a grant too. It's not anything that we earned. It's what He gave us freely. And the second thing it says, we might serve Him without fear. We might serve Him without fear. Because Jesus came and because of what Jesus did in His coming, I am delivered from fear. You are delivered from fear. God doesn't want you living a life of fear. God doesn't want you walking around in fear of your future, in fear of your life, in fear of what may happen, in fear of making a mistake and failing and falling, in fear of what people might do to you. We're delivered from fear, praise God. We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to deliver us from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Yeah. Hallelujah. When you get to know Jesus and when His Spirit comes into you, you're set free from fear. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to fear. Right. Well, I'm afraid I might lose my job. You don't have to fear. That job's not your source. God is. Well, I'm afraid I might get a disease. You don't have to fear. Jesus is your healer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and then verse 18 out of the New Living Translation, it says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. Such love has no fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we've not fully experienced His perfect love, because perfect love expels all fear. Hallelujah. Amen? Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment. Hallelujah. And Jesus took that punishment for us. Amen? Jesus bore that. Praise God. And then the third statement that Zacharias made, he says that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear. And then he said this, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Hallelujah. He has made us holy and righteous by His blood. People struggle. People adopt religious practices and struggle trying to be holy, do all kinds of works, do all kinds of things and struggle trying to be holy, trying to be righteous. You know, every other religion in the world, and we can add some aspects or what some people have brought into Christianity, not aspects of real Christianity, but what people have twisted Christianity into, every other religion and deceived Christianity is this. It's man trying to make himself good enough to get to God. You know, some people don't accept Jesus. Some people delay receiving Jesus as their Savior because they say, well, I've got to get my life cleaned up first. You can't clean up your life. That's the point. You shall call His name Jesus because He'll save His people from their sins. The fact that Jesus came brings out the truth that we can't save ourselves. If we could have saved ourselves, God wouldn't have had to go into the trouble of sending Jesus. Amen? Every other religion is man trying to reach up to God, but Christianity, the message, this good news of great joy for all people, is God reaching down to man. And God didn't just reach down, God came down. Hallelujah. And He lived and walked among us. Amen? Hallelujah. I've quoted this before, but it always comes back to me as I think about these things. My dear friend, Eddie Everett, who's up in heaven now. Eddie was a songwriter, a singer and a songwriter. He and his wife sang at our wedding when Rob and I got married. And Eddie wrote a song called He Walked on the Same Ground. He walked on the same ground that you've been walking on. He breathed the same old air that you've been breathing your whole life long. He suffered every kind of heartache any man has ever known. But wouldn't you think that the Son of God would have done the job sitting on the throne, staying up in heaven? But no, He couldn't. He had to come down. He had to become a man. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And that song ends up, He walked on the same ground that you've been walking on. He breathed the same old air that you've been breathing your whole life long. He conquered death for those who love Him and choose to be called His own. Now it's you and me and the Son of God sitting on the throne because He raised us up to sit with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. In holiness, and that we might serve Him in holiness and righteousness. He has made us holy and righteous by His blood. Look at these verses. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus became sin so that we could be made righteous. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't attain to it. It's received. Hallelujah. Jesus was in the great substitution. Jesus was made sin so that we could be made righteous. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God's talking about you there. I said, God is talking about you. He chose you. Everybody say, God chose me.
God chose me.
You believe that?
Yes.
That's talking about you. Put your name in there. Just as He chose Hannah. Just as He chose Nathaniel. Just as He chose Ivan. Just as He chose Marcy. Just as He chose Seth. I'm going to have to stop. Just as He chose Caleb. Just as he chose Kate, I could go down the whole front row, but I better stop. He chose, put your name in there. Put your name in there. Let's say that verse. Let's say it together. Put your name in there. Just as he chose David in him before the foundation of the world, that David should be holy and without blame before him in love. Glory to God. Did you put your name in there? Amen. Hallelujah. In holiness, that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness by his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. 2, Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, the New Living Translation, it says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Look at what Jesus did. He broke that power. He took away the fear of death. Hallelujah. You know, as believers, we don't have to fear death. Amen. There's no fear in death for a believer. Glory to God. Somebody said, you know, instant death, instant glory. Amen. Now, we're not getting up a load to go today. And God wants you to live your life out. With long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's God's plan for you. Make no mistake about that. But there's no fear in death for the believer. Jesus took that away. I said, Jesus took that away. Jesus conquered that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at what it says here. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And it says, only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Jesus broke the power of the devil over our lives. And Jesus set us free from the fear of death. Somebody said, well, Pastor, this sounds more like an Easter message than a Christian. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. We have to preach. You have to preach the resurrection of Christ and the birth of Christ. Because that's why he came. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Look at this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil is sin from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did he come? To destroy the work of the devil. The word destroy there means to render not binding. Hallelujah. Satan's work, Satan's authority, Satan's grip, Satan's grasp is no longer binding. It's like the power that it had to lock onto your life. All that power is broken. It's broken off of your life. Hallelujah. Sin, destructive habits, sickness, fear. There's no grip in that. There's no power in that anymore. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you live in the reality of what Jesus did, all that is broken off of your life. No wonder we have good news. No wonder we have a reason to celebrate. No wonder the angel said this is good news of great joy. That's for all people. No wonder Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied and declared these things. Hallelujah. By the Spirit, he saw what was coming. By the Spirit, he saw what this Redeemer, what this Messiah would accomplish. Hallelujah. Let's close with this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Hallelujah. And I think the choir is coming back up right in a moment. All right. Philippians 2, verse 6, though he was God, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm on every head bowed.